Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Michael Lombardi.
You couldn't get me to buy Mitchell Trubisky if you had him at a discount rack at Seeley's basement.
Radio.com Sports NFL Insider.
If you bet MVP Mitch to win the MVP, you might want to consider that you're not going to get paid on that ticket.
Looking at the league from a front office perspective.
I want to have a convention of the Mitchell Trubisky MVP voters. I want you to come out of the closet. Like, I want you to come out and say, yes, I did. And just own it. Just, we all have made mistakes. I've had bad draft picks. You got to own it. Like, you got to own it. You know the guy that's probably ripping my ass on Twitter? It's probably got an MVP ticket from Mitch.
Michael Lombardi, every Wednesday with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score. The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And on the line is Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Lombardi. You can listen to him on his podcast, The GM Shuffle, available on Radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Insider Calls, brought to you by the all-new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz. And Michael joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Good morning, Michael.
I am great. Thank you. How are you guys? Everything good?
Everything is great, and it is always a joy to talk to you. And we look at the Super Bowl every year, and we ask the same questions. What do you learn, and how do you apply it to other teams? And particularly, there's one around here that we seem to care a lot about.
You know, that was an interesting game. I mean, it went pretty much the way I thought it was going to go to about 8 minutes and third and 15, and you know, they give up the big play on third and 15, a deep throw. And then on third and 10, which is a play no one really talks about, the play that broke the 49ers back was the third and 10. They get the pat. They play cover one free, and they get a pass interference call in the end zone, and it leads to the touchdown. They hold them there. They're going to kick the field goal, make it 20 to 13. Now they got a chance to kind of move the clock. They're not feeling the pressure. The momentum doesn't come along. But look, let's credit the Chiefs. The Chiefs won that game with their ability to score 21 points in the fourth. I really thought they had to dominate the fourth, the 49ers. The teams that beat the Chiefs dominate the second half. The game plan went exactly the way they needed to. And when you're the best defense in football and you have a third and 15 and you can't get off the field on that and you can't get off the field on third and 10, you're probably going to lose.
You know, Michael, when you look here in Chicago, everybody wants to know about how close the Bears are in relation to, you know, where they were when they started the season with all those expectations. And you look at the way the 49ers got to the Super Bowl with a strong defense, a great pass rush, and a solid running game, and a quarterback that didn't get you beat until maybe the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. But you got there. Are the Bears as far away as it seemed at the end of the regular season, or how close are they really?
I think it's a real misconception. You know, if you asked 90% of the people in America who had a higher yards per attempt on passing, Jimmy Garoppolo or Patrick Mahomes,
right,
everyone would say Patrick Mahomes. That's not true.
Right.
Garoppolo threw the ball down the field way more. He had five games where he had over 10 yards per attempt. The 49ers could throw the football. Garoppolo made a lot of plays down the field. They throw it way better. I mean, MVP Mitch can't throw it over. His yards per attempt stays at five. Until that changes, they're never going to compete at that level right there. You can't win in games where you can't get the ball over 8 point yards per attempt. Until that happens, you know, you can't win that. And you can talk about playing great defense and running the ball, but that doesn't work if you can't make big explosive plays in the passing game, which is what we know the 49ers could do, even though it's hidden underneath their run game. And I think that's the difference. I mean, look, I love Garoppolo. I think Garoppolo is a really good player. I think he's a lot of, like a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL, he's workable, and you've got to build the team around him. I don't think he's the reason they lost. I think their defense let him down. I think it was a combination of a lot of things. But his ability to make plays down the field all season long was one of the reasons they're at that game.
You know, you think about the Bears and the changes they have made with their coaching staff, and you know, they really have a kind of a become a cradle of quarterback coaches, and they've got a lot of people,
and the design would be, and the idea, Michael, I understand it. You know, they Matt Nagy probably came in and had help putting that staff together, and now he's got his guys. So he wants to be the one that makes the decisions on everyone and have a relationship with all of them that maybe predetermines what's going to happen on the field. So that happens. Staff changes happen. But how much does that impact things if you bring in different guys?
Well, you know, I mean, look, I think it all depends on really – I mean, they got to sit down and say, look, obviously we have to make this quarterback more successful. I mean, we can kid about it. We can laugh about it. But that's their challenge. And I think they need to find some ways, and I think that probably Matt's scratching his head wondering how is this going to happen. And you can bring in all the people you want, but at the end of the day, it's going to be the system has to match the skill of the player, and then the player's got to match the system. And those two things, I mean, Garoppolo is the perfect example. If Garoppolo probably played in another offense, he wouldn't be as effective. But he plays in a run, he plays in that offense that allows him to utilize his skill set and his movement. I think that's really what the challenge is, and I think that's why there's a change of staff, is because I don't think they really know what MVP Mitch is going to be able to run on a successful basis. The biggest issue is, and I've said this all year on the station, is what happens on Wednesday. If it doesn't happen on Sunday, then that's when the problems occur. And I don't know if there's anyone that coaches football that can handle that. If it doesn't go off the way it went on Wednesday and Thursday practice in the game on Sunday, and the play breaks down and you've got to make decisions quickly, I think that's an innate thing. That's called talent. That's called instinctive behavior. And that's something we have not seen from the quarterback of the Bears.
Michael, what's the league-wide perspective on Alex Smith, who had the gruesome injury in November 2018, trying to come back from that 17 surgeries later? What's the proper amount of hope and money to invest in a guy like that?
I think you got to determine whether he's healthy, but more than health, you know, one of the things that made Alex Smith so successful was his movement, was his ability to run and kind of slide in the pocket. This is where Andy Reid has been so effective in his career. If you go back and watch the Donovan McNabb offense in Philadelphia, then you watch the Kansas City Chiefs offense with Alex Smith. I called it West Coast College because it really was the Utah offense that he put in for Alex Smith. And then when Alex Smith leaves, he's got Patrick Mahomes, which doesn't look anything like the Alex Smith offense. And I think with Alex Smith's movement and his ability to run created an idea and an identity for their offense. If that doesn't come to play, I think it would be really hard for him to continue to play.
Do you know these guys very well? I'm talking about Bill Lazor, John DeFilippo, Clancy Barone, Juan Castillo. And are they upgrades? How does that change what you're doing? The Bears' offense was broken. They're trying to fix it, and they're not doing it by bringing in players, apparently.
Well, I mean, DeFilippo's, you know, I mean, we know him in Minnesota and sure. Jacksonville. He's been the coordinator 2 years in a row. He's lost his job 2 years in a row. I mean, he's a spread guy, RPO guy that went to Minnesota. Zimmer wanted him to run the ball. They threw too many RPOs. They went down to Jacksonville because Nick Foles was there, tried to do the RPO stuff. That didn't really work. You know, Lazor was in Miami. He's a Chip Kelly component. So now you have two guys that are kind of off the Chip Kelly RPO scheme that's basically predicated on the hash marks of the offense. I mean, if you watch Lazor's offense, anytime the formation is, wherever the formation is, the ball's going away from it. So you know that. I mean, Juan Castillo's been a line coach in the league in the last 2 years. But John Harbaugh let him go, and then Sean McDermott let him go, and I think the Bills' offensive line improved when he got after that. So it's going to be a challenge, I think. And then blending all these together, how does that all work, right? Castillo's from the West Coast offensive scheme. You know, he's going to convince everybody he's going to develop a lot of young talent. You got DeFilippo, you've got Lazor, you got all this, and then you've got Matt, and all trying to come together. It's going to be interesting to see. And then you got the biggest issue of all is what really will work for the quarterback. What really will work? And I think that's the secret question that no one can answer. Not even Ryan Pace. I mean, I would love to know be in a room with Ryan Pace and say, Ryan, tell me the offense that you really think MVP Mitch can run. I like to see it on a blackboard.
Yeah, what does he do best? That's a huge question, Mike.
I want to know that. Like, I want to know. Look, I'm not trying to be a jerk here and pick on a poor player, but I spent 35 years in the league. You tell me what offense you're going to run with this guy and tell me how it's going to work.
Well, he can
and then show me the tape of when it does work against really good teams. Don't show me the tape against Tampa Bay's bad defense. I don't want to see that. Because for us to win, for us to be a champion here in Chicago, we got to beat the best teams. We got to beat Mike Zimmer, who's a really good coordinator. We got to beat Green Bay, who's a Pettin's scheme is difficult and challenging to handle. We got to go to San Francisco and beat that scheme. We're going to have to go to Philadelphia or Dallas and beat one of those. Tell me, when we go against a good team, what scheme you visualize for this player and how it is. This is the eternal problem with the NFL. This is why there's so many teams that can't get it right, because there's a vision from the personnel department that doesn't match what the player can do.
He could use a tight end. That always helps. And Greg Olsen is on the market. Panthers cut him loose. He's visiting the Bills, visiting the Redskins. Yesterday,
Seattle.
He told ESPN he'd like the Bears to call. He was surprised they didn't, a little disappointed. Is he worth a phone call?
Well, I think, again, it's the vision of the team. Where are we going with this team? You know, where are we headed? They got Burke. They got the kid from Philadelphia there.
Trey Burke.
You know, and Trey Burke. So, you know, I mean, where are they going? They got money in him, you know. And so it's going to be interesting to see. To me, I really think if I were, and again, you know how I feel about this, I think they need to be a two-back team. I think they need to be a little bit like the 49ers and try to really run the outside zone and run a lot of play action and make it a high-low read for the guy. Because I think any other system, it don't go. What happens on Wednesday and Thursday has to happen on Sunday, and those are hard, hard things to do.
Can Khalil Mack have a bounce? And I don't even know if you call it a bounce back year. Can he have a big number year if they don't get him help on that line elsewhere? I mean, I know that Akeem Hicks is coming back, but we saw what San Francisco could do with that defensive line.
Yeah, no, and that can change the game. But, you know, San Francisco was the number two team in the National Football League in first-half point differential. The Chiefs were three. Again, this is the most important stat in football, getting the lead at halftime. Everybody talks about the West Coast offense. The West Coast offense was never plays. It was a philosophy. We are going to throw the ball early in the game to get the lead, and we're going to have the lead at halftime, and we're going to be able to extend the lead through our ability to rush the passer. That's the essence of the West Coast offense. And so when you can't get the lead at halftime, then what good is having guys that can rush the passer and create turnovers? They never can get going. They never can take advantage of it. So it becomes really a problem of how you're going to handle this going forward. And I think the team, and I don't want to belabor on this on Pace, but when Pace tells the team that MVP's the starter next year, and there's got to be a sense of, is this really fair? I mean, is this really fair? Like, for us, do we have a chance? Players will say they believe in the guy, but at some point, you know, they look at it and say, wait a minute, this might not work.
Thanks, Mike.
Michael, thanks a ton. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
That is Michael Lombardi from Radio.com. He, of course, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, and Insider Calls are brought to you by the all-new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz. You can listen to Michael on his podcast, The GM Shuffle, available on Radio.com or wherever you get your podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.